Thank you, Dawson, for sharing. And that, though I'm going to read the last of the Colossians account for us, I don't have time to get to Archippus. And so thank you for sharing a little bit about him. But if you want to know a little bit about him, is that it is presumed that he is Philemon's son. Okay, so if there now, if next time you have a quiz meet, you can pass the quiz. But yeah, he does mention some names here at the end, which I won't get to today. But I want to finish our series on Colossians today. And then next Sunday, we have the blessing of Gary sharing with us on Sunday morning. And then also Christmas Day, I will share some thoughts as well. So if you got your schedule in front of you, then please come back next Sunday. Next Sunday, we will use the have our regular time of service. Connect will be at 9:30. Our service starts at 10:45. Christmas Day, our service starts at 10:45. And so on Christmas Day, please come, and we'll have a great time of fellowship together at 10:45. New Year's Day, New Year's Eve service times will be the same as well. I've titled my message, Jesus at the Core of the Non-Heroics. And often in our ministry and as we look at the overall ministry platform of many different organizations, we see those who are up front. We see those who are the public face of their ministry. But often we don't take the time to look at those who are ministering behind the scenes, those who make the ministry move forward because of their faithfulness. And so this morning, I want to take some time and look into some people that here Paul mentions. Yes, they're giving their greeting to the church there at Colossae. And most of the people that we're going to mention here this morning have no relationship to the church. In fact, I believe Epaphras, maybe Onesimus, the two names that I'm going to mention, have direct involvement or direct knowledge of the church here at this time. So here Paul is wrapping up his ministry in the chapter 4, verses 7 to 18. And it would be easy to glance at these verses and move on, believing that there's not much to learn other than a few names so that we can pass a quiz meet. In fact, even when I was sharing these thoughts, one person did mention to me, like, why mention this? Why don't you just go on and just drop these verses? And as I was looking at them, as I've looked and listened to some message on these, the importance of mentioning those people who are involved with us in ministry is awfully important. Because though we as pastors have a public ministry, this ministry of Ozer Mission Chapel is much broader than just me, Gary, and Pastor Simon, and Pastor Vern. This ministry is carried on by many others, and we need to stop today and say thank you for their ministry. See, occasionally you can pick up a new novel, and maybe you are interested in novels as I am, and I've got many novels on my shelf at home. They will list the characters at the beginning. At least the books of the mysteries that I read, they list out the characters. Because I need to look through those characters to understand the plot line and how the plot line is going to go together. Because often they are using those names throughout the plot line. But here as we get to the book of Colossians, we don't see them mentioned except here at the end, except for Epaphras. These 10 names that are mentioned in these last few verses of chapter 4 are not mentioned except for Epaphras in the plot line that Paul writes to the Colossians. For some of them, we have little information about them other than their names. But yet their names are important, and the reasons why they are there is awfully important. Most of these names, as I said, were not familiar to the recipients of the letter. And so why does Paul take the time to mention them as well as some of their characteristics? So we want to walk through this morning the importance of these names that he mentions. And so if you have your Bibles open to Colossians chapter 4, I want to read some verses from starting at verse 7, and let's just read to the end of this chapter. Colossians chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. And to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant in the Lord, he will bring you information. For I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know about our circumstances, and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of your number. They will inform you about the whole situation here. Articus, my fellow prisoner, sends you his greetings. And also Barnabas' cousin, Mark, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And also Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are from the circumcision, and they have proved to be an encouragement to me. Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bondslave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. For I testify for him that he has a deep concern for you and for those who are in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, sends you his greetings, and also Demas. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and also Nympha and the church that is in her house. When this letter is read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans and the church of the Laodiceans, and you, for your part, read my letter that is coming from Laodicea. Say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand, remember my imprisonment. Grace be with you. Each of these individuals have a place of importance with Paul in his ministry. At the writing of this letter, Paul was on his first imprisonment in Rome, which lasted about 2 years. This imprisonment was house imprisonment while being chained to a Roman soldier. And so these first eight names were with Paul in Rome during this time and ministered to him, which allowed him to continue his missional mandate that God had given to him. Because Paul had these eight ministering with him, he was able to continue. In fact, from Rome, wrote many of the letters to the different churches. The names live on through history, and even if we do not know a whole lot about them, they were the ones working in the background, making it possible for the gospel to continue to have an impact around the world, which while Paul ministered as a public figure. Paul's ministry was carried with the assistance of individuals working in the background who were content to live anonymously and work anonymously, knowing that they were a blessing for Paul, as well as knowing that God was well aware of their ministry. They were faithful to the calling that God had given to them, even if it went a ministry where their names were not known, and where in fact probably many in Paul's ministry, we will never know their names until we get to glory, and then we spend time and eternity getting to know their part that they played in the ministry. We often make mention of the importance of Paul and his ministry to the Gentile believers and the churches that began through his ministry. In fact, probably many of us said, if I have somebody that I would like to have as a mentor, I would like to have Paul as my mentor. But we've been remiss in that we have not mentioned that Paul was never alone in ministry except for a brief period while he was in Athens. There were many that worked in the background and allowed the ministry to have the reach that it did because of those individuals. And so Paul, I believe here at the end of this letter, wants to allow them to have a greeting, and also he wants to mention a few points about their lives. There were frequent times when Paul traveled by ship and no mention is made of the pilot or the crew who helped Paul and his partners get to where they wanted to go, except for the time when they did not follow his advice and they ended up swimming the last miles, the last distance to land. Yes, they are mentioned there, but most times when Paul seeks to travel from place to place, there is no mention of those who piloted the ship safely and got him to where he wanted to go. But here Paul lets us in on some of the individuals that ministered with him. The ministry of Ozer Mission Chapel is carried on by many individuals who are happy to work in the background and carry on week after week, and the ministry is what it is because of these individuals. And so this morning we acknowledge that there's many individuals that make up the ministry of Ozer Mission Chapel, and we say thank you for your importance that you play. This ministry would not be what it is apart from your involvement and the part that you play. But let's look on these individuals that Paul mentions for us. And hopefully we can get them to stop for a moment so we can acknowledge them and learn from them of some things from them. The first that Paul mentions is Tychicus. We are not told of Tychicus's talents of gifts or gifts, but we do know that he was the one who carried the letter back to the church in Colossae, as well as the church at Laodicea and Hierapolis. And often in Paul's letters, as he sought to write, the letters would be read in multiple different churches. In fact, even in this account where he says to them to read the letter that is coming from Laodicea, we're probably believing that that is the book of Ephesus that they're waiting to have read. And so these letters would be transferred from church to church, and they would be read. And even this book of Colossians would eventually get to Laodicea, eventually get to Hierapolis, and I'm sure would probably even eventually get to Ephesus as well. This journey that he would take carrying the letters back would not be an easy journey. He would have to cross Italy, find a ship to cross the Adriatic Sea, cross Greece, find a ship to cross the Aegean Sea, and then the final 100 miles to Colossae. So there was an adventure. It wasn't like getting on a plane today and landing in your destination. It would take quite a few days, maybe even weeks, trying to get these letters back to where they needed to go. Each of these stages carried security risks, but also logistical challenges. Tychicus came to faith under Paul's ministry in Ephesus. He accompanied the offering that Paul brought to Jerusalem. When Paul was arrested, he did not jump ship, but he sticks with Paul and travels with Paul on the ship to Rome. And so as Paul is traveling to Rome, one of the people on that ship would have been Tychicus, and then others as well. He did not allow the shame of Paul being a prisoner to hinder his relationship. But Paul uses three phrases in his reference to Tychicus. He is a beloved brother. He is a faithful servant and a fellow bondservant in the Lord. The titles, how he addresses him, the importance that Tychicus was to him in ministry. There are few more praiseworthy expressions than what Paul gave to him. Tychicus was a deeply loved member of the family of God who was a trustworthy, reliable servant. He lowered himself to meet the needs of another, which was a humble position in the culture of the day. To serve somebody else would have been that you would have had to humble yourself, but he was willing to do that. He very much believed Jesus' words, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. And I'm sure that he gained some understanding of that passage. His importance was that he might be faithful to what God had called him to do. He was also a fellow bondservant with Paul in this ministry. Tychicus was a servant to the servants. He was all in. He was fully devoted. And to become a bond slave in those days meant that you become a permanent slave. The practice was is that at the end of your servanthood, when they would seek to release you, if you didn't want to be released, you could go to the doorpost of the house and your master would put an awl through your ear and you would be a slave for life. And Tychicus here was willing to be a slave all in for the Lord. The trust that Paul had in him was evidenced by him having the responsibility of seeing these letters get to their recipients. But he would also give the church news, and that they didn't have the means of communication in those days except somebody traveling from place to place. And so the blessing of him going back to the church, expressing the needs that Paul had, expressing what was happening in Paul's life and ministry would be an encouragement to the people there at Colossae, because I'm sure that they were in prayer for him and his ministry as well. And so one of the ministries of Tychicus was that he might be that encouragement to the church there in Colossae, and by extension, Laodicea and Hierapolis. The second person that Paul mentions is Onesimus. Onesimus is a faithful, beloved brother who is one of our number. This was not always the case. Onesimus was a slave of Philemon who seemingly escaped, and he ran to Rome. I'm sure he was looking for a large city that he would be able to hide himself in, as in a great population. But in the providence of God, God brought him to Paul, and we're not sure how that all worked out. But somehow he came and found Paul. And Paul was able to minister to him and was able to bring him to salvation, that he became a beloved brother. Even though he was a criminal, lawbreaker, he had a clean slate as a new creature in Christ. His past is the past, and he walks a new road and is useful. And isn't it interesting here in Paul, when he's seeking to address him here, he doesn't list him as a criminal or an escaped slave. But yet he uses the same title as he refers to Tychicus above. God is well able to take us where we are to where we need to be. You may be here this morning and you have a past that is criminal, that does not limit you from being a faithful, beloved brother like Onesimus. You are still valuable in the work that God is doing, and there is a Paul looking for you to partner with as well. And so as Onesimus goes back to Philemon, to present himself once again, We know that later in ministry, that some histories tells us that Onesimus became a pastor of a church. So we're not sure if Philemon gave him his freedom and eventually was useful in ministry as well. Your past does not limit you from the possibilities of being partnering with us in ministry. Articus is a fellow prisoner with Paul. He is a native of Thessalonica and met Paul in Ephesus and then went with him to Jerusalem. Somewhere along this path, he gets arrested and becomes a fellow prisoner. He may have given up his freedom to be with Paul on this trip and imprisonment in Rome. Even though he was a fellow prisoner, Paul mentions him as one of the people who are part of his team. What are you willing to give up to carry out the role that God has for you? Archippus here was willing to give up his freedom that he might be able to be with Paul, and not sure if there was even any guarantees that he would be able to be together. But he was willing to trust the Lord in that. Willing to give and demonstrated his loyalty to Paul to the point that he was willing to give up his freedom to be able to carry out the role, this role with Paul and to Paul. The fourth individual is Mark. Here is an individual who is a former failure. Mark joined Paul and Barnabas on the first missionary journey. And you know that they went through Crete together. But yet when they got to Perga, here it then says there that Mark left them and went back to Jerusalem. When things decided to get tough, he gave up and went home. He heads back to his home in Jerusalem, and we are not told the reason he could not finish the trip. But in the eyes of Paul, he was a deserter. Paul and Barnabas went their separate ways over his reinstatement. But while Mark was in Jerusalem, he connects with Peter. And Peter calls Mark later in his book there his son. And Peter must have discipled him in the truth that being a deserter did not eliminate him from the opportunity to serve. Paul tells Timothy to pick up Mark and bring him along as he is useful to Paul for service. Here he is listed as a member of Paul's ministry team, but also a display of the grace of God. God is the God of second chances. Your past failures do not eliminate you from the opportunity to serve. He is a man with a surprising future as he goes on to write the Gospel of Mark. Maybe you are here this morning and you're reflecting upon some past experiences that you had. I tried that. I failed at that. That does not eliminate you from opportunity. Yes, you might have found where your gifts are through that means as well. I'm not gifted in that area. Or maybe I am gifted in that area. But often we look at our past failures and we say, well, that eliminates me. And I'm here to tell you this morning that does not eliminate you. And if you are here this morning reflecting on your past failures, then remember Mark and that he was valuable in ministry and even writing the book of Mark. The next person we find is Justice. Jesus, who is called Justice, is also mentioned. We do not know much about him other than that the fact that he was an encourager of Paul and was from the circumcision. He was a faithful behind-the-scenes supporter of Paul and was filling in as there was need. He would identify as someone who would never speak from the stage or sing a solo, yet was valuable from behind the scenes. There's certain individuals who you would never find them up here on the stage because this would absolutely just terrify them. But yet, they still have an important, valuable role in a different place behind the scenes. And this would be somebody like Justice. He stepped out from the contrary feeling of his people to identify with Paul and be a person that offered encouragement on a daily basis. Someone like this is like having wind in your sails or high-octane fuel in your tank. When we would do helicopter shuttles in Papua New Guinea, we would give the last bit of Jet A fuel after fueling the helicopter all day long. The people would gather around with their plastic jugs, and they just loved to come and get the last of that Jet A fuel because they would stick it in their lanterns. And their lanterns would burn far brighter than they would on the regular kerosene. And so they look forward to that opportunity. But then also, we heard a story of a group of motorcyclists who got into some avgas. And they experienced the blessings of having avgas in their tanks by going out and doing wheelies and finding new ways to speed up their bikes as well. justice encouragement allowed Paul to carry on through adversity and have a joyful presence in the letters he wrote, as well as the people who came by his home. He was an encourager. We need people who are encouragers in our lives. Can you fulfill the role of being an encourager to somebody this morning? Discouragement can be very debilitating and be a gateway to many other conditions. Your word of encouragement might make a difference in someone's life here this morning. And we have the privilege of going into the presence of the Lord and asking him for wisdom and being able to have the opportunity to bless someone in a meaningful way. It can be by word or it can be by action. The Edible Blessings Ministry is one of the ways you have for action in this area here at this church that we presented for you. You can bless somebody. You can be that encouragement. But as you spend time getting to know us, each other as people, then you can speak a word of encouragement with them, whatever they are going through, as God lays that upon your heart. Epaphras was the pastor of the church at Colossae, and he had traveled over 1,000 miles to visit Paul with the concerns of the ministry. With his arrival, he blesses Paul with news on the ministry. He shares with him what God is doing in the church. Because yes, there's those who are seeking to infiltrate the church, seeking to lead the people astray. But yet I'm sure there was many examples of God's victory in different people's lives that he shared with Paul. And Paul would have been encouraged listening in on these news. Though he shared on the struggles of those who were infiltrating the ministry with false teaching, he would have also shared news of God's working in the lives of individuals. With Paul being confined to a Roman guard, he would have been hungry for news from the churches. Epaphras was to remain with Paul for a season longer, and thus the greeting back to the church, but also the blessing of Paul in that Epaphras is indeed a bondslave of Jesus Christ. While with Paul, Epaphras carried on a ministry in prayer for the church. His prayer ministry is identified with always laboring earnestly. And it'd be better to translate that he was pushing himself to the limit in prayer. His ministry of prayer was a deeply intense prayer life that he was experiencing. He pushed himself to the limits in his prayer ministry. It was not just one prayer, but it was prayers that they would stand perfect and fully assured in the will of God, that they would be anchored, stand firm, and be mature and complete, that they would be more firmly developed in the Lord, that they would continue in their spiritual development in the Lord. And often when we look at that, that word perfect, we get a misunderstanding. But what he was praying for is that, God, would you take them from where they're at and would you move them down the road of faith and make them complete and standing firm in the truths of who you are. But also that they would have the full assurance that they were in the will of God. This prayer is an encouragement for us to know how we can pray for each other as well. How do you pray for one another? Well, here would be a great example to pray that that person might stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. May that be a challenge for us as we pray for one another. Since these prayers were going on, while with Paul, Paul could bear testimony of Epaphras' deep concern for them, but also concern for the church in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Laodicea was about 9 miles from Colossae and is listed in Revelation as a lukewarm church. But it was a city that was growing at that present time. Colossae at that time was a city that was slowly dying. And so as you look at opportunities for ministry, why would you go to Colossae? Why not go to Laodicea for a city that is seemingly continuing to grow? But here, God led Epaphras to Colossae. Hierapolis was a neighboring town that was overrun with Greek mythology and idolatry. And there was a church there as well, for God does not have to have the circumstances right to build a church. When God decides to build his church, he gives us the opportunity to walk with him in that. And a church, even there, had been established in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, was also with Paul, and he joined Paul on his second missionary journey and was there with Paul for both of his imprisonments. He was an educated and smart man who wrote 52 chapters of the New Testament. He was excellent in the Greek language, Greek grammar, and Greek syntax, far beyond my ability when I was going through those Greek class. In fact, we had to write a final paper, and the teacher didn't even hand it out to the students because it was so poor. But so he was far better than my giftedness as well. Luke was an individual who would have used his education for his own, could have used his education for his own personal pursuits, which would have given him a comfortable life, but he gave that to the church. He was willing to give up his education, his personal pursuit, his opportunity to have a comfortable life. He was willing to give that up for the ministry and for the advancement of the church. He was willing to sacrifice his life and education for the sake of the gospel. The last person with Paul is Demas. He was bodily with Paul, but not spiritually. Philemon 24 refers to the fact that he was a fellow worker, but 6 years later, during Paul's second imprisonment, Paul writes that he deserted and went to Thessalonica because he loved this present world more than what he was presently doing. Demas is the only one listed where nothing positive is mentioned. And Paul had a casualty in ministry, and he felt the pain of betrayal. And as you do ministry, you will probably also experience the failure as well. But Paul continued on, though he did enjoy Demas' work for a season. It's often the case when you give your life to do ministry that there will be great temptations come your way to test your resolve, or there will be trials that test you whether you will stick it out. Stick out of this, if however you want to use that term, is a hard to find in our day and age. People willing to stick it out for the long term, willing to stick it out through great difficulties, through great temptations. This was a diverse group yet valuable to Paul, but also by extension to us as we get to read what he wrote with the assistance of these eight individuals. Each of them found a place to serve where they were gifted, and it did not have to be a public place, yet a key role for the advancement of the gospel. They will hear, at least the seven of them, I'm not sure of Demas, his situation, but the others will hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant," just the same as Paul will also hear those words. We need every believer to find their place in the calling of God to make disciples. There is the active call upon each of us to be about making disciples, but there is also the opportunity to find our place on the team as we collectively move forward in obedience. For some, it will be a position that holds little glamour, yet vital to the success of the whole. And we stop to say thank you for your faithful participation and for you to know that you are valued in the ministry of Ozer Mission Chapel. And so this morning, let me be the one to stop and say thank you. Your position, the role you're playing is important. We value you. You are valued in this ministry. This ministry cannot go forward with just us pastors doing the work. We need each of you. So we trust that you, as you lay your life before the Lord, you'll find your place. And if that be this as lowly as being the janitor, is in our society, that's what we call a lowly position, but it's awfully important. We would soon notice if the janitor wasn't functioning here at the church. And so thank the Lord that he has provided us with two individuals who faithfully clean this church. So, thank you this morning. As Paul mentions these individuals, the importance that they played in his ministry cannot be calculated until we get an opportunity to sit down with them and understand the full ramifications. And so this morning, we take time and say thank you for your part and your faithfulness in this ministry. As I close off, I just want to read some verses at the end of Jude before I pray. The end of Jude, verse 24 says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen." Continue to be faithful to what God has called you to be about. Let's just close our time in prayer. Dear Father, thank you for these people that you've mentioned, the part that they played in Paul's ministry, the encouragement that they gave not only to the churches but also to Paul and all those that came to meet with him. And thank you, Heavenly Father, that they can be an encouragement to us here this morning as well. And may we continue to be faithful to what you have for each of us, whether that be lowly or whether that be in public, whatever role that is. So thank you for your grace in each of our lives. We pray in your name. Amen. God bless.